Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier, happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Hello, busy mamas. Welcome to this episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I'm so happy to be here with you today. I'm so happy to be back. We did miss last week, which in my head I justified because the week before we had 5 or 6 episodes all in a row for kicking off the holiday season and the giving season. And then last week I was making my way. We left the day after Thanksgiving from Los Angeles, California, and made our way back Boston. We arrived just as you're listening to this on Wednesday. We arrived late Sunday night and we saw some amazing places. And I just needed to be in the moment with my kiddos and on the road, my eyes on the road. And I don't know, podcasting was just one of those things that didn't happen. So I apologize for that. But I just wanted to recap a little bit because we talked a lot that week before about keeping the holidays simple. And today, this episode, I'm going to tap into some of the food myths that come with the holidays, so stay tuned because that's what's coming. But I just wanted to recap a little bit about what the purpose of my class that I gave at the end of that week, the week of simple giving, about creating a simple holiday season. And I shared a tool with you that I use, which in some people's lives might be referred to as an advent calendar. If you don't celebrate Christmas, it could definitely just be called a countdown calendar. And I gave a few suggestions. I actually do use it to count down till Christmas, although I admittedly did not start on the 1st because I was driving home. So I'm considering using a countdown to the new year this year, with Christmas just being one of the days where we do something special. But you could also count down to the winter solstice, which is the 21st. But it's just a really cool way to stay focused on what really matters at this time of the year, which is so easy to get pulled off track, both from a food and an activity and just an energy standpoint. And all those things are very connected. So if you're feeling too busy, usually your food sort of falls into that category too. And so what I suggested with this calendar is that you write out sort of everything that needs to get done in the holiday season, and that you really structure your December around one thing a day and really focusing on the thing that matters. So you kind of have to start with how you want to feel. And I shared that this winter, how I really wanted to feel was just this sense of ease and connection. And that's just simply in reaction to the fact that I've been on the road. I've been away from my community and my friends for 12 weeks. And it was so fun. And I have so much to share with you about what I learned on the road. But it wasn't always easy. I learned how to thrive and learned so many important lessons. But it was a lot. I was with 3 kids. I was homeschooling them. I was showing up on stages in a way that I had never done before. And I was doing all this driving. So I just had this vision that we'd get home and we could sort of hunker down and connect with people. And it's funny because I really declared that intention, but then things come into my world, like my parents wanting us to come there. And, you know, I have these brief moments of being like, oh yeah, sure, of course, we can do that. But then when I really get back to that way I want to feel, that's not home. And that's not, they actually just don't live, you know, where I grew up. So for me, that's not home. For me right now, here is home. And, you know, so that doesn't connect me to that feeling, but it's so easy to say yes to those things. Same thing, my husband yesterday, one of the things that I put in the calendar is the day that we go to his office Christmas party, which we very much look forward to. It's a great way to connect with what he does every day. And I always do sort of a clue around driving in and going to see lights. It's not a clue, it's like a thought for that day, around driving in and going to see lights on the way. And I've gotten very good at thinking about the food and making sure that we can all be fed well there or that we have a snack before. So that's become part of our rhythm, and it's great and it's fun and it totally fits in with this year. But he emailed me yesterday and said, you know, there's actually these two other parties for these projects I'm working on. Why don't we do that too? And at first that sounded really fun and like we could go connect with these new people, but then really that pulled me away from that way I wanted to feel. So it's just a way to check in with how you want to feel. And I, you know that I'm a little bit all about planning, and not because I'm a super organized, crazy type A person, which actually I'm not at all, but because I know that when I have a plan and I make a commitment to stick to it, I've made that plan based on how I want to be or how I want to feel in that moment, either around food or about life. And so it just helps me stay on the path that I want to be on. So it's really as simple as that as a tool. It's not about being all crazy and not being able to be flexible. It's about reminding myself that I want to eat well, or that I want to get this bunch of work done, or that I want to have time with the kids, or that really today what I wanted to do was sit by the fire and read, even though it's so easy to get pulled away from that. So anyway, that's what I do for Advent or the holiday season, is each day I sort of have a thought. And I think through those fun activities that we want to do, I think through putting quiet things around those fun activities. So I also put in things like lighting a fire and reading a book all morning in pajamas. I put in making yummy sweet treats for neighbors, and I put limiters on that. So I choose 3 neighbors to give it to, and so the kids are part of that, and they help keep me accountable to the fact that I'm not all of a sudden going to make 15 batches of cookies for all 15 neighbors, because really we can only do so much, and I do actually make healthy cookies. Love passing that along. And so it's just this list of things that just keep us centered and focused. I always add in a sort of gratitude practices. So one of the things that they do in the early times is make a poster about what they're grateful for. And I find that that really helps in this time where everyone's thinking about what they want, which is a natural thing for kids to do, I think. And we'll do things like we brought packages to homeless people. A lot of it's driven by them, but I'm just helping to foster it. So those are all fun things that we do during the holiday season, and I do package it up in this little calendar, which is basically just meaning I put a thought a day in an envelope with the number, like it actually flows with the dates. So I didn't start it till today, so it's starting with number 6. I'm recording this on a Tuesday, I think Tuesday the 6th. So it's starting with the number 6, and that's okay, because we're all fabulous mamas, and that's just what happened. It took me a minute to get home. All right, so that's what I have to say about the holiday season in terms of simplicity and ease and connection, which are my words for this holiday season, and you got to pick yours, see what you want to do. And now I wanted to go in. The point of this episode was I wanted to go through 10 food myths that come up with the holidays. And these are sort of 10 myths that played a big role in my world. So I'm able to talk to them in terms of how I've turned them around over the past years, and I hope that they serve you guys as well too. So the first one is that on a holiday, you just eat too much. You just get so full that you need to take a nap at the end of the day. And I think this is a combination of eating too much and eating maybe food that doesn't serve you, or just really heavy food, all those foods that you wait all year to eat. Although what I've found as I watch the world is that this holiday, quote unquote, I'm putting air quotes in the air, this holiday food isn't necessarily holiday food anymore. That we have access to this food at other times of the year now. So we have to be a little careful with that. But once I realized that I didn't have to feel yucky on holidays, it opened up a lot for me. It opened up, you know, new foods that we could have, easier foods that we could have, and just a different way of feeling that I don't have to stuff myself on this day. And I started thinking, like, you know, what if I still had a green smoothie for breakfast on Christmas morning? Like, what if it didn't have to be grandma's coffee cake, you know, or the coffee cake that we grew up with? What if I could start the day in a good way? And then what if for lunch, like that ham situation went away? And, you know, we had yummy food that didn't necessarily fit into that Christmas mold. The sort of tradition that we've gotten into actually is that we get tamales. We have a very good friend, someone who has helped us for a long time in our household, who's from Honduras, and she would come with all these amazing presents every Christmas. And I talked a bit about last week how lots of stuff, I think, gets in the way of our health, just because I end up cleaning all the time instead of making food and doing the work I want to do. And so I asked her one year if she would consider giving us tamales. And so every year those sort of arrive. I'm just thinking, I don't know if I've made that clear this year. These tamales arrive and we have this amazing food. They're gluten-free by nature because they're made of corn. I forget what it's called around the edge. It's like a grits. And then she fills them with beans and veggies. So they're really delicious. We make a big salad. And that's become our new tradition. And I am cognizant of, you know, how much I want to eat on that day. And I do try to fold in a walk and getting out, even if it's freezing cold on that day. So that was myth number one. Myth number two is that you have to make the same exact cookies that your grandmother did. And this is a big one that I hear a lot. And it's funny, this is one that I let go of pretty early on in my healthy journey. Well, first of all, I was never quite that cook, as many of you know, before I started all this. And so I'm not sure I ever got her recipe right. I did definitely enjoy when people did and gave them to us, and I enjoyed eating them wholeheartedly. But I hear a lot people saying that they have to make those same cookies and that it's Christmas, so who cares? And it's true that one day in life doesn't matter, but compiled over time, it sort of does. And I don't know if your Christmas is anything like my Christmas, but what would happen is it's like, okay, we'll have them this day, but then they're still there the next day and the next day. And then there's more to be had. And then there's a party that has other Christmas cookies. And it's not really just once. It's not just really one cookie to remind us of grandma. And so one thing that was really helpful for me was to just think of my grandparents in other ways. Think of my childhood memories in other ways. We a lot of times associate memories with food, and that's totally natural because taste and smell are senses that just enable us to remember things. But we don't have to repeat those things, those foods, in order to remember our grandparents. So that was number two. And number three is, you will feel deprived if you cannot have everything at the dessert table, like at a party. So this is a myth. You know, one of the things I try to explain to people. It's a hard thing to explain. It's an easier thing to experience, which sometimes takes some learning of tools. But it's really a mindset thing. It's really, if you're feeling deprived, it's not really in your body usually. It's usually in your mind. And it's a story that we're telling ourselves. And if you spend a season or a week or a day really feeding your body in a way that it wants to be fed, it's not going to grab the dessert table. It's simply not going to grab the six desserts, knowing what like the end goal is. That's not what your body is going to do. If you want to sort of feel good and relaxed and sleep well and feel good in your stomach and feel good in your body doesn't want all that sugar naturally. It's all a mind game. And you're going to have to kind of take my word on that for now. This is the topic. The mindset behind food is the topic of the class I'll be teaching in the new year. So stay tuned for more info about that. But it's really fun to uncover that and get to the other side of that, because really this whole journey is part food and part all the mindset piece. So number four is, you might as well go all in and reset for the new year. So this is a big one, and I think so many of us operate this way. I know that I did. This is definitely how I operated. And I would just figure, like, I might as well eat that whole dessert table, and I might as well have 4 servings because you know what? My New Year's resolution is going to be moderation. But here's the deal. When you do that for a month, your body gets used to it. And yes, January 1 might come along and you might actually, start that goal. If you're anything like me, January 1 will come along and you'll have another big spread ahead of you. And so you'll say, I'll actually start tomorrow on January 2nd. But it makes it harder to start on January 2nd when you've totally gone against everything that you want to do for an entire month. It's just our body is made of rituals and rhythms and habits. That's how we formulate what we do in the day. And so when we've created all these rituals and habits around stuffing ourselves for a month, our body's kind of used to that, and it makes that January thing even harder. So it's going to make that first week just feel hard. And when it feels hard, we don't keep up with it. So then the third week comes and we're kind of done with that resolution. So there's different ways to go about it than going all in. Mindful eating is a huge, amazing tool. We had a guest, Stacey Curnow, a while back, talk about a tool that she does of simply just taking deep breaths, and tuning in and really going deep in sort of to your intuition and into your stomach to see if you're really hungry and to actually write down in a non-judgmental way when you've done well or when you know that you've eaten too much so you have the tools to see what those triggers were for you. But that actually using breath to really check in and see if your body really wants what it thinks it wants, because it'll tell you. So number five is that it really sucks to cook so much, but it's just part of the deal. It's part of the deal of running a household, of being a mom, of being the host. So I don't think that's true. And here I am trying to teach people to love being in the kitchen. And I think, again, it's another mind. It's a little bit of a mind thing. We can change our mind and really learn to love to be in the kitchen. But I have to tell you, to this day, I am not the woman who goes on Pinterest and looks at all the holiday spreads and loves how they look and decides that I want to make all those things. I simply spend time in the kitchen and I'm happy to do so because what I'm doing in the kitchen is making me feel good. So it has nothing to do with that whole idea of what the holidays look like and, keeping up with my mom or my grandmother or my aunt or that good friend who does everything so amazing. It doesn't have to, it's not, that's not what's motivating for me when I'm having a good time in the kitchen. I can still get frustrated in the kitchen, believe me, because it's not my space. Like it's not my natural space to want to be sort of, is that the right expression? Susie Homemaker? That's not the right thing. But that's not my natural being. I'm more of like a go-getter, want to be outside, want to do work, want to be with my kids. And so the kitchen isn't my natural instinct. That wasn't initially a relaxing place for me until I started making things that made me feel good. So there's two things you can do with that. Either you figure out how to get out of the kitchen a little, or you figure out systems that help the kitchen feel easier, and you really make a plan so that it feels doable, and then it won't feel like it sucks. And then the other thing is to make food that's really fueling you and making you feel fabulous. Because if one of your goals is to feel fabulous, then making that whole traditional meal full of, dairy and gluten and sugar isn't gonna, it's not gonna fuel you if that's one of the things that you want to do is to feel well, if that's one of the things that's driving you right now. And this may or may not be a problem for everybody, but a lot of us moms sort of sacrifice ourselves in that time in the kitchen. Another thing that you can do to sort of bust through this is not be in the kitchen. It's fast approaching. So are there moments that you could go to somebody else's house because they love being in the kitchen? or have a potluck with people who love to be in the kitchen so that, you know, maybe you're contributing a little but not all. Or asking for help. So there are people in your life who love this type of thing but don't necessarily have the container to do it. So can they help you? So these are all ways to sort of bust through that myth and make it better. Number 6 is you have to eat what others serve you, especially on the holidays. So this is a big one, especially for us mamas, us thoughtful, thoughtful mamas, is that we feel guilty when someone gives us something and it's not, and we feel like they've had that moment of myth number 5 where they've slaved away in the kitchen because we're not loving the kitchen. And whatever they've made, we should eat, even though maybe we haven't had gluten in 2 months or 2 years, or we know that we're trying to cut back on sugar and the cake is sugar. So we say yes because of guilt. We do not have to do this. We don't have to give thousands of reasons. We can simply say no thank you, and we're not being rude. And so ways that you can, you know, do things that make you feel like, you know, you don't want to sit there and eat nothing. That's not going to make you feel good either. So one of my strategies is always to bring something to a party. And a lot of times what I'll bring is I'll bring like the crudité. I'll bring all the cut up veggies and I'll make a really yummy dip. Or I'll bring one of those decadent desserts that is dairy free and processed sugar free and gluten free. And everyone always loves them. And then I know that I'm being fed. So that's another way you can do it. And if you're, you know, and don't press your stuff on other people, just let it be, right? So you're going to be super excited about all the stuff you bring too, just as that person is super excited to offer you. And so you also have to let go of the outcome of them not wanting to try your healthy food. That's cool. The goal is just really to feed yourself well. So myth number 7 is that it's the holidays. So just let your kids go at it, have everything. And that kind of coincides with one of the ones that we've already talked about for ourselves, but this is really about our kids, which is, I feel like there's a lot of emotion that goes into this of our memories from childhood, and maybe we could have everything, or maybe we couldn't have anything. And so we either do the opposite or we do more of the same. But, you know, soda and cakes, and what happens is that then they go to bed super late because they've had all this sugar and because they're having all this fun, and then they get sick. And so it's just this thing that's feeding them, and we're not helping. So still setting boundaries around what our kids are having, I think, is a very useful thing to come at and figure out a plan for ahead of the game. It's literally impossible to not know what you're going to do ahead of the game. It's literally impossible to do the right thing in the middle of a party. So this is definitely something you sort of want to consider, maybe consider with your spouse, and just, you know, have a game plan. You know, sweetie, are we going to let them have one soda? How do we monitor that it's just one? You know, in our house, we just simply don't do it. Usually sometimes at parties, there's juice or sparkling cider, and sometimes we'll have a small amount of that. I'm queen of throwing water into juice. You know, my kids are getting a little bit older. I now have a 13-year-old. So with him, it's more of a conversation before just remembering what it does to him. You know, he has to be careful with sugar and dark chocolate. They really wind him up and they actually make him grumpy. And he knows this. He knows this intellectually, but sometimes just needs a reminder. And with little kids, sometimes you kind of have to be right there. And parties are such a fun time just to forget about our kids, you know, and be with adults and finally have conversations and know that our kids are safe and running around with other kids. So sometimes it's something that you just have to consciously think of and, you know, make a plan and be like, I'll be in charge for the first hour. Sweetie, you be in charge for the second hour. You know, and let's make this the best we can. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it usually needs a plan. Number 8, this one is kind of like a joke because it doesn't have to only be this thing, but hot chocolate is made with milk and a ton of sugar. And this goes a little bit back to grandma's cookies. And that is that all these things, all these delicious memories we have, that we can't have them anymore that we have to deprive ourselves of cookies and hot chocolate and all this fun stuff. And that, my friends, is not what I'm saying at all. Believe me, I am a chocolate fan. I love warm drinks. I love sweet things. And all I've done is figure out how to do them in a healthier way that feels better to me. So hot chocolate's a big one for me. I love chocolate. I love hot chocolate. I love warm chocolate. So I make it with almond milk, and I find cocoa powder that is dairy-free, and it's just cocoa, it's nothing else, and I sweeten it with honey. So it tastes delicious. It's the same idea, but it's just that much better that it leaves me feeling better, because dairy and me, we don't jive, and sugar's something that I just think we all need to consider. One of my favorite example right now is a lot of times we look at sugar in boxes and grams. And one of the things that's super popular right now is the pumpkin spice latte. And the grande one from Starbucks, and I love Starbucks, but I just think there's different things you can get there that help out. I definitely had some Starbucks driving across the country, but that pumpkin spice latte has 13.5 teaspoons of sugar. The average woman is meant to only have a maximum of 6 teaspoons of sugar a day, and a man up to 9. So in that one drink, we've already doubled the amount that us ladies should have, and a lot of us are having those during this holiday season. Like, that's something I hear a lot about on the internet, is the pumpkin spice latte. So there's ways to make these things, to break them down and to make them in a way that really serve us and don't have all the sugar and taste delicious. So always feel free to reach out to us here. Do searches on the internet. Search for things like dairy-free, gluten-free, sugar-free. Just because things are free does not mean they don't taste good. One of my favorite things in the world is cakes and brownies made with beans in it and using maple syrup as a sweetener. They're so moist. They're so delicious. Literally, you have no idea. There's beans in them, but they're full of protein, and they're just really good. And they're not sort of sugary and bad. So there's always ways to create something that's just as decadent and just as good and hopefully taps into that memory that you're trying to connect with. Although sometimes the memory you're trying to connect with has nothing to do with food. Food for thought. Ahaha. So number 9 is traditions, having to stay with the traditions that were made by fill in the blank, your grandmother, your grandfather, your mom, your aunt, whoever it was who was that strong tradition person in your background that, you know, you hold on to. And part of the reason that I did that exercise and that class last week, that free class last week about really creating this, using this tool of this countdown calendar, is because it's really important to write it all down and see what is really important to you and see what you're holding on to because you think you have to, and using the holidays to really create some new traditions. So a lot of times we think the holidays are that time when we have to fall off the bandwagon and do as the Joneses do and then get back after and really stick to what we know. But actually, they're a fabulous time to create traditions for our kids that really serve us and serve them, and to make some changes that are going to stick because they're a time that's so memorable. And so if we're trying to, you know, lessen the processed food in our house or lessen the sugar, it's actually a fabulous time to do it, because one of the reasons that we associate all these foods as being joyous is because it is a joyous time. And so we're attaching those foods to the way we're feeling, although the foods aren't what making us feel this way. It's the company and, you know, the gathering and the events that are happening and the song and whatever it is in your household. So One of the tools that I love to do is just write it all out. Write out what all those memories are. See what those things are that you do because you knew to do them. Understand where they came from. And then see what's really serving you now. There might be some traditions that you grew up with which are wonderful and so worth holding on to. So hold on to those, but then let go of the rest. Just because that they served somebody at a certain point of time doesn't mean that that person wants you to be miserable right now with them. They meant for them, most people meant for these types of traditions to be joyous. So number 10 of the 10 food myths that come with the holidays is that ham, potatoes, bread, cakes, cookies, lots of wine, candy canes, that this is the holidays. We have such strong associations with food that we really do think that these things mean the holidays, but 9 and 10 are kind of connected in that way, that, you know, one of them is more about traditions and one is more about the food. And so we really have to go through and see what really means something to us. And maybe there's a better way to make that. Or maybe it's something that we don't need at all. Maybe that's not, you know, that's not what's Christmas to us. And maybe that there's a bigger, broader thing. And one of the most fun ways for me in all this was to start asking people what their stories were because and what their food stories were around holidays. Because I always thought that everybody did like how we did. Like I always thought it was sort of universal that everybody had ham and those little sandwich buns. And like I just thought that that was Christmas. And as you start talking to people, especially if you have international friends or people from different states or, you know, different communities or different religious backgrounds, and you start to ask about their holiday traditions, it's really fun to hear what they have to say, and it makes you realize that there's so many different solutions. And there's always ways to make any tradition that you love healthier, but there's also all these traditions that are worth incorporating. So my example of tamales, like that was something that is eaten in Central and South America on Christmas because it's something that's really easy to make in advance, and then you have it. So, and a lot of times, I don't know about you guys, but once Christmas starts going, you know, if you celebrate Christmas and you have some presents or, you know, you're just home with the kids, whatever it is, it's like a busy time because you're all there together. Usually, you know, both spouses don't have to work, or sometimes you're traveling. And so that adds to the excitement. And there's just ways to make the food healthier and easier. And so I would just encourage you to go out and ask questions of people around you. And tamales were an example of something that came to me that I realized that that's why people did it. And so the challenge that I have for you guys at the end of these food myths is really to figure out the one that you're going to work with. You know, don't try to work with every single one. Figure out the one that you're going to work with. And then we still have, you know, 2 weeks maybe until the kids get out of school, maybe 1.5 if you're in some school situations. Christmas is on a Sunday, so I feel like that means the kids are in school a little bit longer this year. But use the remaining weekends or take off a day of work to have fun in the kitchen, to get feeling organized before your kids are off, and freeze stuff. Make a soup. When you make a soup, make 2 batches and freeze one so you have it. Stock up on stuff that you know you'll need if you enjoy cooking more in the moment. But freezing ahead is a great way to make sure that you have something. A few of my favorite things, and you can Google this online, is I mentioned a bean cake. So the Spunky Coconut has this amazing vanilla bean cake, and you can see how she makes it into a coffee cake, which is one of, like, it's a great Christmas morning thing, and it's totally, all of her stuff is gluten-free and sort of paleo, so if you don't do eggs, it doesn't work, but if you do eggs or your kids do eggs, then that works. I love the idea of enchiladas. So enchiladas, you can Google that too. There are also, I think there are some in my cookbook. You know what? I'm gonna put that recipe on the blog. So that will be on the Plan Simple Meals blog, a recipe for enchiladas. So if you make enchiladas, then you would fold them all together. You sort of roll them with the veggies and the sauce, and you roll them into a big Pyrex container, and you cover that. And then when you're ready to eat it, you just put it in the oven. A vegetable lasagna, which you can totally have gluten-free and dairy-free, is another great thing to be able to pull out and just put in the oven. All these things, like, you just have to put aside 3 hours and you have all these amazing foods. And though that just prepping ahead takes away so many of those myths that you have to be stressed in the kitchen, that you have to eat all this food that doesn't serve you. So that is the strategy that I would go with, or it's the strategy I'm going to go with myself this year, is that I'm going to make actually those things that I just told you, so that they're in the oven and I can just in the oven, so that they're in the freezer and I can just slip them in the oven, and we have a meal even after we've gone skating all morning, or I just wanted to have some reading time by the fire. I actually spend a lot of time during the holiday season doing planning for next year, which is super fun, and I'll tell you more about soon. So just having that space and making the kitchen and the holidays enjoyable and not stressful around food. That's what I got for you today, those 10 myths, and hopefully some ways where you can bust through one or two of them this holiday season. And I will see you guys on the next episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. Bye for now. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.